Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
The kingdom of God is meant to reflect His character in and through us where we live for one another and for what God can do through us. And that becomes the focus. It isn't about who I am and what people think of me. It's about how can I yield myself to Him and just be an instrument that He can use to help somebody else and express His life. Praise God, okay? In verse 7, I think I was getting to, I became a servant of this gospel, this good news. How did he become that servant? By the gift of God's grace. Okay, once again, you see the power and the working of God. How did I get this? Did I go to school and learn it? I got it because God gave it to me as part of his eternal purpose. I just happened to be my place, and I yielded to it, and he gave me this, and it belongs to you. And whether I go to prison or whatever happens in my life, this is what my life is about. It's about serving God by serving his people in the interest of his kingdom. To me to live as Christ and to die as gain, that was the whole purpose of his life, the focus of his life. Boy, we got some learning to do, don't we? But the Lord's helping us. I'm glad he's patient. All right, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And then he goes on into how the powers that rule this present world had no clue where God was going with everything. But God revealed it to him, and they're going to learn. They are learning what God's kingdom is about by watching the church. And the more we learn about the kingdom and learn to live it out, the more the devil's going to get upset, and he knows his time is short. Praise God, the victory has already been won. All right? So anyway, there's an eternal purpose. He refers to the eternal purpose, verse 11, that he accomplished, past tense, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's why in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Praise God. So, don't be discouraged because I'm suffering. That's just a part of the process. All right, so then he prays that they would their hearts would be enlarged. They would have a knowledge of God, the immensity of God's love and his power and his willingness to come in and live through them and give them the strength that they needed to live. And now he comes to an issue that we all face, because there's so much of this. When you start talking about it, I can't even imagine that. It doesn't make any sense. Who, me? I can't imagine all of this stuff that he says he can do, and it's my mind, my thinking is so small. And that's why he says, now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And what's that based on? Based on his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory. Praise God. Okay? So again, and a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how God created us to rule. We use that power in the wrong way. Now he's bringing us back to a place where he's teaching us to rule his way with his spirit, his strength. And part of that training process has to do with being able to rule this. Yeah. He's given me property. He's given me a body. He's given me a mind. He's given me a will. And it belongs to me. The devil has no right to trample on it. I have to learn how to rule over this and control what happens here. The more I do that, the more I've got a vessel that's actually useful to him. But the thing is, that's not the end goal, is it? It's not just so I can be a good person. And that's where he's going to get into this. Now, he does touch on that part of it in the beginning of chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. And so much of the time, that's what we think of. Oh, victorious Christian living is just being a good person and doing stuff, having a good attitude, and it certainly involves all of that. But that's not the end. That's not the final purpose of any of this, where God can say, look, I made all these people good, now I'm going to take them to heaven. God's got a kingdom. He is ruling. There's stuff that's happening in this world, and just being a good person only just makes us fit to be part of that, but that's not the end goal, is it? It's not just what we are, but it's what He does through us that He's looking for. Okay? So live a life worthy of the calling, and so you do have the character part of it. You have be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing or putting up with one another in love. See, the motivation is, I get that we're all imperfect, and I'm not going to sit here and react to you and be mad at you because you're not perfect like me. We learn those character traits because they're baked into His nature. Just if we'll cooperate with that nature, we have what it takes. Because I don't otherwise. It's not human nature, is it? All right? So putting up with one another in love. Then He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I remember years ago that kind of jumped out at me. Unity isn't something that we attain. When you and I are born of that one Spirit, that makes us one. There is a unity that God has established. The question is, are we living that out, or are we kind of pushing against and violating that? So we need to keep what God has given to us. God has given us a kingdom. He's given us perfect unity in Him, perfect oneness. What God is looking for is a people who will believe that and cooperate with it and live that out, so we don't let something come in and defile that unity. Does that give you a little different perspective on what unity is about? Praise God. All right. Lord, make sense out of this. I sure need it, but I believe God's people need it right now. I believe there's stuff that He wants us to know in a deeper way. All right? Then He talks about the foundation of what He's established, one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And by the way, everyone is part of this kingdom is called. Has God ever convicted your heart and said, you, I need you to repent, to surrender, to hand me your life. I have power to give you a brand new heart and a brand new life and a hope that goes way beyond this world. He calls people into His kingdom. And I pray that everyone who hears this, if God's touching your heart with a reality of His call, that you'll say, yes, here I am. I don't deserve it. I have no hope other than what You have given me through Your Son. But that's where my hope goes, 100% to Jesus and what He's done. Praise God. One hope, one expectation is what hope means. An expectation and an absolutely predetermined end. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, everything there is just filled with God's presence and who He is. But oh, what a wonderful time it's going to be when this time is all gone, and this universe, all that's corrupted, is going to be completely gone. And we just enjoy the heart and the fellowship of a God. But it isn't just, oh, well, we'll have a wonderful time. It's like a permanent vacation. God is going to fill His people and He's got stuff planned for us that is not just here, but it's there. God is preparing a people to rule over a brand new creation. Every one of you is fitted for a place. Because that's what He gets into right here. To each one of us. Now, is anybody here that doesn't include? Are you included in that? Do you really believe that? To each one of us, what? Grace has been given. Even there, you got a past tense, don't you? Didn't God talk about in chapter 2 about works that are God's planned out? Oh, if we could just see how God is, in a very real sense, has written our story before we ever got here. But we need to let him write that story out, because our wills get involved, and he's looking for people who will choose to believe, choose to surrender, choose to cooperate. But oh, what a story that is. But here it is. Every one of us, each one of us, grace, God's power at work has been given as Christ apportioned it. My hand is a hand because that's just what it is. It was designed that way from the get-go. And it has certain abilities. It's not meant to operate selfishly or independently or to fight my other hand. My brain says, pick this up. I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Boy, how much we're like that, aren't we? But God is looking for people who will absolutely seek out and learn who they are and what they are in Christ. And realize what the kingdom is all about. Christ is here. He is ruling. How does he rule? How does his work in the earth get done? Yes, I realize God's Spirit is out there at work, but God always involves his people. And every single one of you has divine abilities to be a channel of his life. Okay? Now, what those divine abilities are and how that plays out, that's up to him. I didn't choose to do what I'm doing. I didn't say, I want to set out to be this or set out to be that. That's just not part of it. Paul didn't set out to be what he was. God put his hand on him and said, I got a job for you. But every single member of the body of Christ matters. And you have a place. And there are things that God longs to do through you that no one else can do, because you're special, you're unique. Oh, God, open our eyes to the reality of this. So that it's not just, I'm a victorious person, I'm a good person now, praise God. It's got to get beyond that. Because it's not, I mean, you could look at being good and being righteous and all of that in a pretty selfish way. Where I'm looking in the mirror, how am I doing, Lord? Oh, God, it's not about that. It's not about me at all. It's about what God wants to do for you. So if my focus is on you, it isn't even on me anymore. Who cares what somebody thinks or any of the things that we are so focused on in our lives? I just want to hand myself off to him and realize the entire purpose of my existence is for God to live in me and use abilities that he has placed in me to help other people. Meditate on that.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.